The last weekend of the church's calendar, the church's year, finishes with this feast, the Feast of Christ the Universal King. It was a feast that was actually brought forward by St. Francis of Assisi. Francis had a great love of all of creation, and he could see in creation the thumbprint, if you like, of Almighty God. In everything, he could see God reflected in some way, in people and in the beauty of nature. And so he addressed, St. Francis did, nature in terms of what we would say was anthropological. It was always in human terms. He referred to brother sun or sister moon. In November, we concentrate on praying for the faithful departed, the souls of all of our family and friends who have died marked with the sign of faith and gone before us in death. St. Francis referred to death as sister death. So he saw in the whole of the universe the breath of God, he felt the breath of God, and he saw the beauty of God in all things. And this is where this feast has come from if I trace back its historical roots. The last weekend of the church's year also concentrates on what we call the last things. So it's always a reflection on death and dying and our hope of eternal life. And of course today we have a strong linkage between the first reading from Samuel and then the gospel. In the first reading, it is the end of the two kingdoms of Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They are unified, they become one in King David. So it was David who brought the 12 tribes together. The end of the old and the beginning of the new. And that's not a bad way of looking at our life and ultimately as we approach death. The end of the old and the beginning of the new. In the Gospel, we have a portion of Luke's version of the Passion of our Lord. And it's quite simple in one sense. It's not overly dramatised there in that short excerpt, but it introduces to us a conversation that will stay with us. Well, I hope it stays with us. Because today, in Luke's version, we have the three men being crucified. Of course, Jesus in the middle, and then either side, there are two, what we are told, are thieves. So they are assumed, they're bad people. Now, interestingly enough, the one who speaks to Jesus, oh, that's nice. The one who speaks to Jesus does not have a name. The one who rebukes Jesus does not have a name. And I suspect that Luke is creating, if this was such a famous or a profound influential conversation and these were notorious criminals, we would have known their names. But perhaps it is that Luke, or I suspect that Luke is creating an opportunity for us to say, which of these men am I? Now, traditionally, in the history of the church, the good thief, as he is known, he's known as Didymus. He's the good thief. He's still a thief. And then you've got the bad thief. And the question arises from some people is, do we die as we live? And this gospel would tell us that God's grace can intervene at the 11th hour if we wish that to take place. There are some people where God's grace, like the sun, does not shine behind a curtain because that is what people choose. And so you have that example of the two thieves here today with grace in the middle, God's mercy in the middle, represented in Jesus. Are we going to be the one that confronts Jesus, or we are going to be the one that mirrors the compassion of Jesus in our living and in our dying? They are very, very powerful words from a dying man. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the other one says, along with the crowd and the soldiers, he says, if you're the Christ, then save yourself and save us. There is no remorse. That is the darkness behind the curtain that I'm talking about. But for the good thief, for Didymus, we will call him. He has a name in history. The other one still doesn't get a name. So for the good thief, I hope it is that we can align ourselves with him, not when we're at the hour of our agony, but during the course of our life, that we can say to Jesus, remember me, now you are in your kingdom. And in that conversation, we may, at our last hour, hear those words, whatever your name may be, today you will be with me in paradise. That is the hope that gets us right across the line, no matter how we've lived our life. St. Teresa of Calcutta, you would all be familiar with her life and her work. There was a beautiful story of hers once where there was a man dying and she just came up with him and she embraced him. And she recorded what he said. He said to her, I have lived my life like an animal, but now I'm dying like an angel. So even at his last breath, the presence of God's grace through Mother Teresa came forward, and in the agony it was converted into an ecstasy for that man. And you're getting a picture of that in this gospel. But don't let it be just words on a page, or let's not just assign this conversation to history. Let us immerse ourselves in the life and the resurrection that we are called to. And that happens for us once we use the name. We use the holy name of Jesus Christ on this feast as universal King, and we echo in that name our own name. Jesus, remember me. Richard, whatever your name is, remember me now that you are in your kingdom. If they were the last words that we say as we live our life, then I am absolutely confident that God's grace will split apart that dark curtain that I'm talking about, and we will just be bathed in eternal light and in eternal peace. That's what our hope is as Christians. And that's what the good thief, that's what he represents in our life. You will remember the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the tax collector, the little man up the tree. Now, he came down from the tree and he was saved because of Jesus' compassion. Today, we have a thief who lived his life like an animal. Today, we have him being showered in mercy. Jesus pulls him down from the cross, like Zacchaeus out of the tree. Jesus pulls him down from the cross and pours mercy upon him. And the good thief turns that page from the darkness of his life into the eternal light of eternal life. That is, as I keep saying, that is our hope. And in our moments of despair, and there are moments of despair during the course of our life, come back to this scene, place ourselves there, remembering that everybody else in Jesus' ministry at this time, except his mother at this point that we know of, they had all deserted him. They did not come forward and say anything. Nothing. But here you have a dying man who's been accused of his crimes, which he took responsibility for, and his death becomes the key that unlocks his eternal life. It's very, very peaceful. It's not a dramatic scene in the sense that there's a lot of darkness or gloom. It's actually a really hope-filled scene. And somewhere along the line, and I hope this never happens to anybody here, somewhere along the line, this thief is given God's grace and he comes forward, whereas the other unnamed thief disappears into history, gone and lost forever by his choice, not by God's choice. And that's really the crunch. We are given the opportunity to make our good choices or our bad choices, to take responsibility for our living and our dying or not. I ask you to remember, please, those words as you journey through life, and I hope that there is somebody like Mother Teresa there by each of our bedsides or wherever it may be when God calls us home, no matter how we've lived our life, as animal or not, that at the hour of our death, when we say, Jesus, remember me, I hope that we can all share in the dying like an angel.